with that, the high priest, right? Compared with the high priest. And if we continue to look into chapter 7 and 8, yesterday we finished around chapter 6. So, at the end, yesterday we talked about a few things that we should be careful. Number one, do not stay as a baby, grow up. Okay? Number two, you don't need to lay a new foundation. Do not lay a new foundation. Departing from the foundation only meant for you to grow up, never meant for you to forsake the basics. Okay? Without a foundation, house becomes shaky. Without basic doctrine, faith can never sustain. Okay, so second, do not lay a new foundation. Number three, it says that do not leave. Do not forsake, do not fall away. Do not fall away. The Bible, Apostle Paul described our journey to heaven is as a race, as a marathon, as a race, that anyone halfway leave the race track is disqualified. Okay? So, once you leave the track, once you leave the pathway, everything becomes a question mark. So the job of TJC, you know, because in the PMVP, the class is salvation. TJC, why is TJC so special? It's because the pathway that we provide guarantees salvation. Guarantee. In terms of how about those people are not on this pathway or left the pathway? That's not our concern. It's no longer our concern. It's between them and God. Okay? So many of you like to ask questions about who can be saved. Why can they be saved? Why can they not be saved? There are good people out here, out there. There are good people here. And how about before the before TJC came in 1917? You know that you have all these questions. In the time of Jesus, that somebody asked the question as well. Somebody came and asked Jesus, Lord, are there few that can be saved? Okay? So just like you, always curious, hey, who can be saved? Who can be saved? How about this? How about that? Like, you love to question. And you looking for, well, hopefully you are truly looking for answer, not just make it my life more miserable. Okay? So many of you are, how about before 1917? How about people in the middle of the jungle that never heard about TJC? How about this? How about, you know, you put out so many scenarios. I hope you just want to know instead of just trying to prove yourself that you are smarter than God. All right? Trying to create scenarios so that you can make the pastor speechless. All right? So mentality, your motivation. When you ask Q&A question, your motivation is everything. The same question, different motivation means very different in the eyes of the Lord. Okay? So when we ask question, please, we ask because we really need the answer. We really, with a very sincere heart, we are searching for the answer. It's not just trying to prove, hey, you never thought about that, right? All right, so that's very different. So once outside of this pathway, is between them and God. For people who never heard about TJC, for people who died before 1917, all right, no Holy Spirit, all right, so what happened to these people? The answer is very, very simple. What is it to do with you? Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going to be a nice pastor. I forgot. The true self just came out. I am sorry. Let me rephrase myself. All right. In terms of those people, thank you for your kind consideration and your amazing love for those people you do not know. But please, be rest assured that your God knows better than you. If he knows better than you, why do you need to worry about it? God never made mistake. He knows what he's doing. So please don't worry about it. Number two, when people ask this question to Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, are there many to be saved? What did Jesus say? Jesus looked at them and said, you strive to enter through the narrow gate. What does it mean? It means that Jesus said to them, hey, stop looking at others. Look at yourself first. It's not who can be saved. It's if you can be saved. That's a more important question, isn't it? Instead of asking who, the question should be, am I going to heaven? Can I be saved? That's the question. That's why Jesus said, you strive through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. That's more important, okay? So we just have to make sure that we ourselves stay in this pathway. Do not fall away. Then we are very certain that we will definitely, at the end of the journey, go to heaven. Isn't that enough? For me, that's enough. Right? That's enough. Right? So, number three, huh? Number four. The last thing that we mentioned is do not lose heart. In chapter 6, at the end of chapter 6, if we read verse 10, it says that for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Okay, so this is the last thing that we talk about yesterday. Please, this is a long journey. Especially for you. I mean, it's not so long for me. Not as long as you, okay? So, it's a long journey for you. You are looking for another 60, 70, 80, 90 years that you will continue to troll in this journey. And in this journey, there will be many, many things. Many, many things that really discourage you, hurt you, make you cry, as you are unable to continue anymore. Sometimes, doing holy work, you might be misunderstood by others. Sometimes, putting effort, then nobody appreciates. Sometimes, you give all you got, but you only, in return, receive criticism. Okay? So, that's how it is. That's how it is. Okay? But it doesn't matter what happened. In here, the Bible in here, the book of Hebrews, tell you loud and clear, do not lose heart, for our Lord never forget what you have done. Okay? He never forget the effort that you put in. He count every tear that you shed for the truth seekers. He remember everything that you did in the church, though that nobody knew about it. But our Lord recall everything. That's why in the book of Psalms, it says that even every drop of your tear that the Lord collect in the back, okay? Nothing is forgotten, all right? So if we can always remember that at the end, everything that we do in here is for the Lord. And above there, the eyes always look upon you and recall everything that you did is recorded and shall be rewarded accordingly. And if we can remember that, it doesn't matter what kind of obstacle or difficulties, even a moment is like somebody broke you, somebody break your heart, right? We shall be able to continue. For at the end, the Lord is my judge. In this journey,
you will run into many circumstances that people judge you. Inside the church, outside the church, even by your own family member, by your good friend that you trust, you might be judged for they are not God. They do not see the whole picture. So, yes, people tend to be judgmental. You do that, I do that too. Okay? Unfortunately, that's how human beings. Human beings tend to be very judgmental. We see something and naturally we come up with conclusion. Like we come up with a judgment. Okay? So yes, in this journey, you will have people who accuse you wrongly, who judge you with bias. But the law is always fair. Here says that he never forget. Okay? So do not lose heart. This is the last thing that we covered yesterday. And now, since we have two sessions left, we need to continue in a very fast. Yeah, somebody say I never finished my class. I'm going to prove them wrong. I mean, I can always jump to chapter 12, right? Give me some credit, would you, Steffi? All right. Even it never happened. But one of these, you just need to have faith. Faith. Faith is the substance of things unseen, okay? One day. And the question is, have you prayed for me about this? No, right? I knew it. Right. So, now we shall continue. We want to look at now we are looking at the priest. Huh? So, right away, from chapter 6, 7, and 8, as we are saying that they are comparing with the priest on earth, the high priest. High priest is the highest ranking in the Jewish structure, the Jewish society, their structure. High priest, as we said yesterday, in their governmental structure, the priest, the high priest is actually higher, upper than the king, higher than the king. Okay? So this is the highest. The high priest is the greatest person in the system, in the Israelic system. Compared with the priesthood of Jesus. However, right from the very beginning, in order for you to compare the priesthood, okay, in order for you to compare priesthood, they both need to be legitimately priests, isn't it? They have both to be priests in order for you to compare them. Now the problem is, this is the descendants of Aaron. Okay? Aaron's descendants, Aaron's children, which is called by the law to be the priest. Okay? So from the descendants of Aaron comes with the lineage of priests, which is legit. This is the tribe of Levi, and only the tribe of Levi and from the descendants of Aaron can come forth the priest. Now we have a problem. Jesus Christ, what tribe did he come from? The tribe of Judah. Can people from Judah be the priest according to Mosaic law? No. Okay? No. However, the author of Hebrew here is looking for the lineage. Like lineage, how is it connected? Why is Jesus known as the priest? Because according to the Mosaic law, the descendants of the tribe of Judah cannot be, they can be king though. There are many kings come from the tribe of Judah, but not priests. But as we know that everything must be legit. God will not work as, oh, you know what? He's a priest because I say so, you know. God always makes sure that everything follow order. Order. So now, people are questioned, then why is Jesus Christ also a priest, but not only the priest, but the high priest? So it was linked to that of Melchizedek. Who is Melchizedek? Is found in the Old Testament, in Genesis, when Abraham came back and made offering to him. Is this a real person? Is this a spiritual being? It's not a topic that we are going to discuss in here because I don't know. Okay? You know what? You can try, you can test, you can argue, you can discuss, you can... At the end, nobody knows. Nobody knows. Okay? It's all about... You know, whatever the answer that you come up with is always an assumption from research. Okay? So I don't really feel we need to drill into an argument, a debate. Is it a real person, a spiritual being, a this and that? No need to argue about it. You only need to know that the Bible called it the King of Salem, and he was known as the High Priest of God. So imagine thousands of years, 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus, that Melchizedek appeared out of nowhere. You know that book of Genesis, it was written way before the book of Hebrew. Way before. But at that very moment, Melchizedek just appeared in front of Abraham, then disappeared after that. So, if you only read the Old Testament, you will feel, hey, what is this guy doing? 打酱油的, huh? Like, suddenly appear. You don't know why the Bible recall about him. Just, oh, this guy, very special, King of Salem, High Priest of God. But if you read from the Hebrew, and then you will realize that this is an amazing arrangement of God. We call that in Chinese, 伏笔啊. I don't know what is it in English. Fubi means that, like, when you are writing a novel, you write something at the very beginning meant to set up a plot for many, many chapters later. And only when you read it until the end, until that chapter, this is how they link together, okay? So you know what? Thousands of years ago, Melchizedek came out of nowhere and served very little purpose. The only thing he did is what? This guy came out and said to Abraham, God hand over your enemy to you. And when Abraham heard this, he was like, wow, tithe for you. And then he collected tithe and he left. Seriously. If you look at the Bible, that's what Melchizedek did, right? He only showed up, say a few words, take all the money, and left. Right? But see, after thousands of years, when you read about the priesthood of Jesus, the author of Melchizedek, inspired by the Holy Spirit, suddenly realized, this is how. This is why he appeared 2,000 years ago. Now, thousands of years. This is why he appeared. And this is the legitimate lineage for Jesus Christ to be qualified to be the priest. This is the wisdom of God. Okay? So one thing please do remember, God will not do things without any reason or meaning. You do things without reason and meaning. Okay? Like you sit there and daydream in my class. You sit there and there's no meaning. But you know what? For our God, everything that he did, there is always a greater and higher purpose behind every action. So, including you, for you to be created, to be born, for you to be in here in NYTS 2017, you have to remember one thing. God never do things without reason. If God allow you to be born, there must be a reason. If God brought you here, there must be a purpose. If God allow you to continue your journey, there must be a mission in your life. But the problem is, have we realized our mission? Okay? So God said this Melchizedek thousands of years ago is only for this very moment when anyone questioned, hey, Jesus is not from the tribe of Levi. He is not qualified to be a priest. The author say, from Melchizedek. Higher. Why? Because the Bible say, because at this time, even Abraham need to offer to Melchizedek. So, as we say that, this is descendants of Levi, huh? Okay? So, who's the father of Levi? Who is the father of Levi? You don't know? Jacob. Who is the father of Jacob? Isaac. Who is the father of Isaac? Alright, so, this is a little guy. So, this is a little guy, huh? This is a little guy. The top is Jacob. Top is Isaac. Top is Abraham. However, even Abraham need to bow down and offer tithes to Melchizedek. This is the way that they show this lineage is way more honor, way greater, way higher than that of the children of Aaron, or the children of Levi, or the children of Abraham. Okay? So, they are two, in the Bible, they are two lineage, two line for the priesthood. One is from human descent. Human descent. One is spiritual lineage. Okay? But as we say that, everything is always in order. In order. Legit. Legit. Okay? So Jesus Christ is qualified to be high priest because he's taking after Melchizedek. Another comparison. He says that for high priest, it's also in chapter 7, no? For high priest, that every year when they make this major offering, they need to first redeem for themselves. For himself. Sorry, it's one, huh? For himself. Why? Because he's also human and he is weak. Okay? But Jesus Christ is not so. Jesus Christ born and sinless is without sin. So he can offer perfect gift. He says that the high priest of the earth, the high priest on earth, must redeem himself first. So in the practice of their sacrifice, they have to first offer a sacrifice of redemption just for high priest, just for him, just for him, before he can offer a redemption for the whole congregation. Okay? But Jesus Christ did not need to do that. Perfect gift, perfect offering, perfect sacrifice, once for all. Okay? So once for all is another thing. He says that the priest on earth every year continues because the offering is only to remind the people of Israel we have sinned. So it serves as a reminder, but it's a continuous reminder because it cannot really wash away human sin. It cannot. But for Jesus Christ, because the gift is different, it's once for all. Only need to offer once. Because in here, every year, you just continue to do it. It doesn't matter who the high priest is. It's never enough. It's never enough. Okay? The priest is weak. The offering, the sacrifice is weak. The blood of the cattle, the blood of the animal, the value is different. So, because the value is different, you can never repay. You can never pay back the debt. Today, if you owe me $50, okay? You owe me $50 and you came to me with a beetle and say, can I repay my debt with this thing? I don't want to use cockroach. Okay? Beetle, okay? Something insignificant, something that you found outside, cricket, something that you just, oh, pick it on the floor, a rock, a piece of paper, and say, hey, would you take this for $50? And Charlie says, sure. That's what happens when you keep on playing piano, right? Sorry. Be nice. Yeah, I heard that. You need to say that before I make the comment. Be nice. You need to pray for me. Okay, so you know what? The value is in imbalance. It's not equivalent. So you are using something that's a way less value trying to pay off your debt. That's why you have to do it every year and you cannot even meet the interest. Okay? So yes, the blood of the cattle, the blood of the sheep can never pay for your sin because your worth is way higher, way more than that of the animal. So they have to do it every year. But the Bible says it's only to remind them that they have sinned and they are weak in front of the Lord. However, as we know that the blood of Jesus, the holy blood of Jesus, once it was shed on the cross, once for all, the redemption, the sacrifice, the blood is greater than our value. The blood of Jesus outweighed the value of the entire world. So the moment when he paid our debt with his blood, all our iniquity can be wiped away because now the value is enough. The value is enough. In the PMVP class, as we were talking about salvation, one of the topics that we mentioned is about cherubim. Cherubim is an angel guarding where? Guarding the Garden of Eden. All right. So after Adam and Eve were outcast from the Garden of Eden, the Lord set up cherubim to guard the entrance. At the same time, with the flaming sword, circle the area, guarding the area, so no one can approach the Garden of Eden because you go, angel come out, and angel destroy. So cherubim is always known as the guardian and also is there for destroy. Sinners approaching the law shall be destroyed. That's how it is. Okay? That's the job of cherubim. You come, they come out and kill you. Okay? That's how severe that it gets. So when they build the tabernacle, on the curtain of the tabernacle, always showing the image of cherubim, including the holy temple by Solomon. Outside vessels, you keep on seeing the image of cherubim, 基督伯, cherubim, that is everywhere. Why? Because it's guarding the sanctuary of the Lord, and you approach, you die. That's how severe it is. However, When the law commanded Moses to build the Ark of the Covenant, we know that in the book of Exodus, on the Ark of the Covenant, with a pole, he says on the top is what? Sea of Atonement, Mercy Sea. There is a Mercy Sea, I can't draw, so Mercy Sea. And on the top of Mercy Seat is what? Two angels on both ends. And that's two cherub. One on each side, cherub, with their wing extended and facing each other. Okay? So anyone who approach to the Lord shall be defended, guarded, and killed. Yes, sinners are not allowed to approach the mercy seat of the Lord. But Sinners are not allowed to approach the Ark of Covenant. Sinners are not worthy to form a covenant with God. However, in Exodus, it describes the two cherubs facing each other, and then they look at the mercy seat. They look down at the mercy seat. Okay. What is in here? What is on the top of the mercy seat? Blood. Every year, the high priest brings the blood of the sacrifice and places it upon the mercy seat. So the angel of destruction, this angel are meant to kill, but because they look and saw the blood, so they let you go. So the blood, you know that even thousands of years ago, from the description of the book of Exodus, it really portrayed the plan of salvation. Blood. For because of the blood, now you are allowed to enter through the sanctuary. You are allowed to enter into the holy temple. You are allowed to pass through the pathway to Garden of Eden to regain your connection with God. It's not because who you are, it's because the blood. That's the blood of Jesus that shall buy your freedom. Okay? That shall buy and redeem you. That shall redeem for your freedom. Okay? So now this is a comparison between the priesthood on earth. Weak. They try, but they cannot really save you. Okay? But Jesus Christ from Melchizedek, that he was able to offer once for all and sit at the throne of God and continuously to intercede for you. That's the power of the blood. Okay? The power of the animal, the blood of the animal cannot really do much. The value is too low. But the blood of Jesus has the power to wash your heart, wash your life. And not only for once, but continuously you kneel down, he listens. Okay? So this is the comparison between two types of high priests. We should continue. Okay. Let's continue looking back to chapter 7. We'll go straight to chapter 8. Huh? So earlier we talked about comparison with the priest. Now we want to make a comparison of the sanctuary. The tabernacle. Earthly tabernacle. And this is the heavenly. N-A tabernacle, 是吗? Now, there's another comparison between what is told to build on earth compared to what is built. Well, you use the word central tabernacle, okay? If you look at chapter 9, and compare with Book of Exodus, there are many chapters, 38, 39, from 33, 34, all the way. It's all about building the tabernacle or the sanctuary. In the Book of Exodus, when they were told to build the sanctuary, you have the washing basin for washing, washing basin outside. Once you enter in here, is the table for bread, for show bread. In here is the lampstand, the golden lampstand. And in here is the golden censer, the golden censer, all the gold, the altar. Not the burning altar. This is the altar for censer, where you burn incense. Where you burn incense. And inside, you have the Ark of the Covenant with mercy seat, with cherub, with mercy seat, with everything. Huh? In the Old Testament, what is in here? You only have the tablet. Inside, there's only stone tablet. The rod of Aaron is outside. The golden jar of manna is also outside. It's also outside. So, originally, this is historical tabernacle. Really exists in time of Moses. God told them this is a curtain that divides holy place and holy the holy. Right? So, in the book of Hebrew, the heavenly tabernacle is a little bit different. It's a little bit different. Okay? The table is there. The lampstand is there. But the censer, the gold censer, is actually inside. Again, you are expected to read, that you should have read the book of Hebrew about this part already, so I didn't read it for you. All right? So you see that this is the same, but the censer is inside, and also, if you compare, now in the spiritual tabernacle, the tablet is inside, the rod is inside, and also the golden jar of manna is inside. That's the differences. That's the differences. Everything else stays the same. Huh? Washing basin. Huh? Okay, so in here, the author of Hebrew create a tabernacle that were never the same as that of the Old Testament. If he say this in the Old Testament time, if the author of Hebrew brought this up in the Old Testament time, people will stone him. Heresy. Against the teaching of the Lord. Okay? But in the New Testament, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that the author of Hebrew were able to show a higher and greater tabernacle for you to pursue after. In the Old Testament, people cannot approach God. As we say that only once a year that the high priest can enter here, and even entering here, they might be killed inside. So at that time, being a high priest is a very high risk job. In Florida, they have a theme park called Holy Land Experience. Right? It's called Holy Land Experience. Yes, people from Florida, why are you shaking your head? Never heard of it? I've been there, so it's true. I've been there. I even got like $3 off coupon. Yeah. So yeah, there's a place called Holy Land Experience, and this place has the largest indoor model, huh? Of the holy city. So you can actually see a huge mini scaled model of what Jerusalem looked like in the time of Jesus. Okay? It's pretty interesting, but kind of expensive. All right? I think it costs like $30-$40. For me, that's very expensive. Okay? For you guys who go to Disneyland and feel nothing about it, we are in a different world. Okay? All right. So, you know that I was there, and this theme park was built by the Messianic Jews. Messianic Jews means that Jewish people who believe in Jesus. Okay, Messianic Jews. And you know what the interesting thing is, that in there, in the theme park, they have real priests. Real Levi, real priests. that he is able to show you his genealogy to prove that he's the descendants from Aaron. So you have real priests in there. And then there's a building, it's a simulation. Right? They build something just like the tabernacle. And then they show you how priests operate, what priests do in there. How do they offer, how do they dress, and when they walk, and how, like, you know, because he's a real priest. It's very interesting, he's a real priest. And the thing is, you cannot accept, he told us, from according to their historical, from the historical record, that high priests, they enter into the holy, with bells tied to their foot. So when they walk, there's a rope also tied to their foot. So when they walk, you hear ding 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 ding. You know that only tell the people out there he's still alive. So after a while, when you hear no sound inside, and everybody panic. But nobody's allowed to go in, right? So everybody like listening. No sound. And after a while, they will start pulling the rope. No response. Then they will pull him out dead. I mean, he said that. I mean, that's some of the old tale from the Jewish priests. Okay? Is it true? I don't know. But they believe in that. They believe that at that generation, that's what they did. They have a bell on the feet, and then they tie the rope. In case the priest, the high priest, is struck down by God inside, at least somebody can pull him out. Okay? No one is allowed to go in except high priest, and only once a year. Okay? However, in the New Testament, when Jesus Christ crucified on the cross and died, the curtain was split into two, right? Do you have any idea how thick that curtain is? 10 centimeters. It will take two arcs. I mean, I was reading, I never measured it. I was reading some document, but the thickness, it all varies based on different research. So some say more, some say less, some say 6 centimeters, but it takes years. It's not a piece of curtain that you use for shower. That thing is extremely thick that you can have two cows pulling from each end and cannot split it. Cannot. That thing is thick, very thick. It takes many, many workers, years to weave that thing. Okay? So it's not a shower curtain like made of those plastic that you teared it and it cannot be severed. It cannot be split. But on the day when Jesus Christ was crucified and gave up the last breath, it was split. So after that, once the curtain has been split, the prayer of you can go inside, which means you no longer need to wait for the high priest to pray for you. Now you are able to pray to God personally. Okay? In the past, you are outside. You need to have someone to pray for you. Now, no, you don't need. You can do it yourself. For anyone, because of the blood of Jesus, that we can freely approach God without fear. For he shall eye upon you and show mercy for you. Okay? So that's the differences between the earthly tabernacle, which you are bounded by sin, compared to heavenly tabernacle, where you are redeemed by the blood. So once you are redeemed, the connection, this thing that separates you from God is no more. So you are free to come and see him. Okay, time's up. Let's all kneel down and pray in one accord. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.